Appreciate that. And that was a shout out to my mom. Yeah, we tell. That's another thing I was going to say. Prophet doesn't have no honor in his hometown. I know that. I'll tell you what. What's that? She knew what Lynette liked. My mom knew what Lynette liked, but not me.
How about that?
Yeah, they call me the favorite son, but I don't believe that. I don't. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's good to be in the house of God tonight. I haven't shouted much this morning or anything. I'm just trying to sing much because my voice, I blew it out when the choir was singing. That's the best I've ever heard the choir, Brother Jesse. What a blessing. And I blew my voice out there, and I was like trying to recover it. And so I was waving my handkerchief and my Bible during service. It's hard to keep quiet when God was moving this morning. And it was awesome. I appreciate what the Lord did in my heart. It's good to get home. We got singing in the congregation this morning. I just got weeping because, you know, I'm glad my dad moved the service back into the church, you know. But this is where I grew up. This is where I got right on this altar here. And, man, Lord, just touching my heart, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate y'all being faithful and being here at the church. And tonight, before I get started, I do want to say this. We are trying to buy 26 and a half acres right next to us. And I need y'all to pray that the Lord would give us the money. Now, the deal is I want to get the money to this lady. I got a year contract to get her 76,500. We already put $1,500 down. But in order for us to get a loan, because it's just land with no building, we need $22,000 down. Yeah. So if you could, just pray that God would give us $22,000.
Yeah. Amen.
We had our revival, and I told the Lord, I said we had our revival, and I said, Lord, and I told the men ahead of time, the church is going to, it's going to take the church about $5,000 for our revival. The men I had coming in, the airplane tickets and the hotels and then feeding them and things like that. And I got down and I knew we were wanting to put money into an account to try to raise money for this property. And I got down two Sunday mornings before revival. And I said, God, we need $5,000. And I said, God, and I know you can give it to us. Would you please do it? Brother Jesse, little did I know after Sunday school, I'm in my office getting ready for Sunday morning. My wife comes in with a lady at our church. She had just joined. She'd been there about 4 months. And she said, Pastor, she handed me an envelope. And she said, Pastor, she said, Lord laid this on my heart. It's some of my retirement. But the Lord's been heavy on my heart about this. And here's $5,000.
Amen.
I started weeping.
Yeah.
And she didn't understand. And I told her, she started sobbing. She said, you just prayed that this morning? I said, I just prayed that about an hour and a half ago.
Amen.
And God used you.
Amen.
And we took that money, and it helped us during the revival. And then we put $3,500 in an account, and we're starting that account, hopefully reaching up to $22,000. So y'all pray that the Lord would give us that money. We'd really appreciate that. You say, what are you going to do with that 26 and a half acres? I believe God wants me to build a school there. We're going to build a church there on our property. We got 4 acres as it is, and we're going to build a church on that, and we're growing, and I'm going to build a school. And I'm not going to build a school like Dr. Ruckman's, a lot of doctrine, but I want to build a school so folks can come and learn ministry.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay, we're lacking in young people or even older folks that get saved later in life to learn how to do ministry. Amen. And so I want to build a school, and it's going to be a little different. You come for a week, we house you. You get trained, you go back, much is given, much is required, you use it at your church, and then you come back the next year the same time until you get your whatever degree we have, if it's our diploma, your certificate of completion. And so if it takes 5 years for that course, then you come for 5. Maybe you come for a couple of them in that week. And the Lord's already placing men and people in my life, in my wife's life. Listen, I know God brought me to Messina. I know we joke about, you know, going to New York, all that kind of stuff, but God brought me there for a purpose, and I never forget when God began to show me this in my office to me and my wife, and we begin to weep, and I look back at my life, and I said, now I know why that happened. Now I know why that happened. And so the Lord's given me a vision. I don't know how it's going to go. I also want to build a Christian campground there because I have so much acres, and then to be able to house people in that and do some other things there. And there's some other things that the Lord's doing in our hearts, and our folks are fired up. And God is just putting people in my path and putting people in my way, and things are happening. And just the other day, Tuesday, before I came down, I was at a preacher's meeting, and we went out passing out tracts, and Brother Potsdam, about 30 minutes away from me, and there's Brother Craig. And Brother Craig, I've met the first time I went to New York, and his wife does insurance, and I've been wanting to talk to him about getting insurance, life insurance on me and stuff, and talk to their Christians and everything. And then I got talking to him, and they said, hey, he does insurances for churches for land.
Amen.
Amen.
But he said, listen, we do the same thing as a bank. We need about $22,000 down, but we will get you through all that crazy stuff. You don't have to worry about the bank. So you say, what are you saying, Priya? What I'm saying is that God is placing things, and he's showing me this is what he wants me to do.
Amen.
And he's placing people in my life to be able to build this thing, and I thank the Lord for it. It probably won't be done until, you know, come up and running big time till 10 years, but it's a start.
Yeah.
And this is what the Lord's doing. And not only that, he's giving me scripture. I wouldn't do anything if I didn't have any scripture.
Yeah.
But man, he's been giving me scripture after scripture after scripture, and he's been showing me, and I've been writing it down, putting it aside, and just waiting. As it unfolds, God will do it. As it unfolds, God will do it. And I thank the Lord for it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If somebody give me a water, I'd appreciate it. It's hot up here. But it's good to be back at Faith Baptist Church. It's good to be here, and it's good to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight, I'm gonna say some things that might make some people uncomfortable. I'm homegrown here. I know a lot about this church.
Amen.
I might say some things make you feel uncomfortable. But it's nothing different than any other church. I believe this, every church has a division in it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It does.
Yep.
My church does.
Yep.
Any pastor that thinks that his church is everybody is on board is a fool.
Yep.
They're just not.
Yep.
So there's always a division. Now, youth rally came around. Unity was here. Everybody worked together.
Yep.
I understand that. Praise God.
Amen.
But there is a division. You got the ones, and listen, and it's not just in church. You go to schools. You got the preps. You got the jockeys. You got all these guys. You got all this stuff and the headbangers and all that kind of stuff. There's always a division, but it's a body.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you'd be a fool to think that there's no division here. You got ones that are come here that just come Sunday morning, and they think that's just good. Then you got the other ones that are totally sold out, and they're so sold out that they divide things, and they have more convictions than God has in his own book. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you got the ones that just laid back. Then you got the ones that get convicted, and they're in and out, and they get convicted, and they come back. And you got all these folks, so everybody has their own thought about the way the church should be run.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let me say this as I preach to the kids down at Brother Manarese's, is that, listen, you can obey him and not be submissive.
Yeah.
Let me just say that right there. You can obey him but not be submissive, and it's submitting in your heart. And so I'm going to show you something God had showed me through the death of my sister from our church. And her husband got wayward with me in the church. He asked me not to come to the funeral with my family. He said some pretty hateful things. He attacked us. My heart was broken. He said, were you angry? Yeah, I got angry. But I wept for him. He's still at alt with us. I told my men, it got so bad I can't even get into it. It got so bad I had to have the police tell them not to come back to our church. I did not want to do that. But the Lord began to show me some things that there's divisions in the church. I never would have saw it. The Saturday that his wife died, Thursday he was at my house hugging me. Everything's great. Saying all kinds of kind things. And I realize there's division. But let's show you this here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and as twinkling cymbals. Excuse me, tinkling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. You should underline that. Now remember who's writing this. Paul, our apostle, that God has given to us, the one that he spent time with and showed him the mysteries of God, showed him about salvation for the Gentiles, the one that was beaten, he said, listen, I can have all this, and if I don't put on that charity or have that charity, he said, I'm nothing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a nothing for God. He says, if I don't, I can preach, I can do this gift, I can have this, I could sing, I could do that. But if I don't have charity, he said, I'm nothing. Wow. If you know the life of Paul, you think my soul. He says this, and though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. He said, I can do all these works, and it profits me nothing. Amen. Listen, I don't want my works not to profit anything. Yeah. Amen. I want them to profit something. Yeah. I'd hate to leave this earth and realize that what I did was in vain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Paul the apostle says, if I do all these things, he says, and I don't have charity, I'm nothing and I profit nothing.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Boy, I got reading that. My antennas went up and thinking, man, God help us. Look what it says. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and not puffed up. Does not behave himself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth in all things, endureth all things. Charity never fail. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but when face to face, now I know in part, but when shall I know, even as also I am known? And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity. You know what I want to preach on tonight? Small-mindedness. He said, how do you get that out of there? Listen, I'm not talking about, we hear this say, oh, he's small-minded. I want you to see something. We have churches that are so small-minded That's why they're divided. Right. Yeah. You say, what do you mean? Well, yourself is so big in your life that you can't see the picture.
Yeah.
When I say small-minded, what I'm saying is that you are not putting down yourself, you're not putting on charity, and it's all about you. Matter of fact, you've deceived yourself thinking it's about somebody else because you put a little bit of charity in, but you get upset because they didn't do something back. And so it becomes you and all about you, and it's all about me, and this is what I want, and this is what I need to do. And pastor, if you don't listen to me, I'm leaving the church. And pastor should listen to me because he doesn't know what he's doing, and he doesn't know that the youth pastor, whoever, the deacons, whoever. And it's all about us. And you guess what happens? When it's all about us, it begins to divide. The Bible says, how can a house be divided? How can a house stand if it be divided? Yep. What we're seeing is a bunch of small-minded Christians.
Yep.
Look at this. Charity, say, what is it? It's an outward manifestation of love. One can give without loving, but no one can love without giving. Yep. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at the first three words. He says, follow after what?
Charity.
All right, go to 2 Timothy. We're going to turn. I like showing you scripture. I don't want you to just take my word for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Timothy. There I go, I tell my church my dyslexia kicks in. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, and what?
Charity.
Peace with them that call on the Lord out of a what?
Pure heart.
You know, there's a lot of people who say they do charitable work, but it's not a pure heart.
Amen.
We'll do something for somebody, and then we get mad because they didn't listen. We'll do something for somebody, and then we get mad because they don't give back.
Right.
We give our life as preachers to people, and they don't get right.
Yep.
And you get frustrated with him because he shows a lot of charity. Go to Colossians chapter 3. I told you I was going to say some things uncomfortable. There's people in here still today that have problems with me.
Amen.
I told you I'm going to say some uncomfortable things.
Yeah.
They do. And I can understand. I was a jerk at times. I was young. I got up here and apologized to everybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all forgave me, and I appreciate that. But a preacher told me a long time ago not go serve under my dad because people would hold the sins of your past as a young man against you. And you do. And that's okay. You said, we're divided. See, I'm not here no more. But you do it here with each other. I'm gone, and when you come, and in a service like that that happens last night, everybody gets the love of Christ, and things kind of put away. But then after they leave and they come back, listen, am I lying? It happens in our churches. I watch it in my own church.
Amen.
I go to churches, I see it all the time.
Amen.
And these are the, you said, man, we just had a good time. Youth rally. Yeah, I know we did, but I don't want us to leave here saying, listen, listen, I told y'all, that's where we get healed. But now it's time to go on the mountaintop.
Right, right.
And this thing I'm going to say is uncomfortable because, listen, if we say that we believe this book,
amen,
it should make you uncomfortable
amen.
When you're in your sin. And it says this in Colossians chapter 3. And don't get me wrong, I don't have it all against anybody here. I got my heart right. Ask the Lord, I love every one of you. I appreciate you sticking behind my dad. I appreciate you sticking in the church. I appreciate you not running God's name in the mud. I'm glad you're here. And I hope you get everything you can get. And if I was a stumbling block, if I was a hindrance, I'm so sorry.
Amen, bro.
Come on.
Because that's not my heart's desire.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Not my heart's desire. Not my family's desire.
That's right.
Amen.
I want to be able to come home and enjoy coming home.
Yeah.
Colossians, it says here in chapter 3, verse 12, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also so also do ye. And above all things, put on what?
Charity.
He just told us all these things to put on. And he says, above all that, he says, put on charity. Put it on. Which is the what?
Bond.
Bond. It bonds us together in perfectness. You know why I asked my dad, what are you going to do? Because Brother George is the one that bonded you guys together.
Right.
Amen. Yeah.
He was the one.
Right.
He'd call me crying and say, brother, I don't know how to deal with this. He was the one that bonded. And this man right here is the one that bonds you together.
Yeah.
Amen.
Why are we so divided in churches?
Amen.
We say we're Bible believers, but we don't read what Paul wrote. When he says charity is the bond of perfectness.
Yeah.
I'm tired of all the division. I'm tired of going to meetings and different preachers and different things. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
We're on the same fight. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Man, and the world has gotten in and divided us. Look what it says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16.
That's good. Amen, bro.
1 Corinthians chapter 16. He tells us to follow. He tells us to put on. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It says this in verse 14. Let all your things be done with what? Everything you do should be a manifestation of the love of God.
Yep.
Yep.
Everything.
Amen.
You say, preacher, do you do everything? No, I don't, but I strive for it.
Amen.
Every day I get up, I said, God, when God began to show me this, I said, God, put Samson out of the way.
Yep.
Put him out of the way. And Lord, help me to put on the bond of perfectness. Put that charity, the love of Christ, that I'd be able to listen, because people will drive you crazy.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Listen, there's some dumb people, I'm telling you.
Amen.
They'll drive you crazy. But I got to show them the love of Christ.
Yes,
they will irritate you because they're not your type,
yep,
if you will.
Mom.
But you still got to love them. Now listen, don't get me wrong. I believe the Bible teaches there are disciplines.
That's right, amen.
And there's things that need to be dealt with and handled.
Amen.
But with truth and love.
Amen.
Look at 1 Timothy 1. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm showing you Paul. This is what he wrote, our apostle. 1 Timothy 1, look at verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is what? Charity. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Faith unfeigned. That unfeigned means not to be a counterfeit, not a hypocrite, but real. And God says, put on charity with a pure heart. Stop being fake. Listen, we have so many fake people that say, oh, I'm charitable. I'm following God's word. No, you're not. And I'm getting ready to show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now listen, I told you there's a division, but what I find is nobody's right on either side because nobody's doing the charity. I got my standards over here and they don't, and I know they do this and that, but boy, and you're always divided. And guess who's learning how to divide? Our young people. And they're saying, you know what? I'll come to church. I'll listen to my music. They get married. They get older. I'll dress the way I want to because they don't see no charity. They see division. Look what it says. Look what it says here. I'm going to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 1. Now as touching the things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, and knowledge puffeth up. But charity does what? Edifies. We're supposed to edify each other. And charity's the one that edifies. And if we have a false charity, we don't edify. We don't edify at all. Edify means to instruct, to improve the mind and knowledge generally, particularly in moral and religious knowledge. In faith, check this out, in holiness. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let me show you about the small-mindedness. As I was reading this, come across here, I realize this, a lot of people think when I give charity, it edifies the person I'm giving charity to. Would you agree with that? Most people think that. It is true. But I believe it also edifies you. Because I'm going to show you, when you start following after charity and putting on charity, and let me say this, daddies and mommies, you need to start at home. Because it ain't at home anymore. We're a bunch of hypocrites. It ain't at home. Hey, honey, hey, boy, you need to put on charity towards your parents. Amen. And you need to do it at home. Yeah. Need to follow after it. I was amazed when I read this chapter and I realized this. Paul says this in verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. And I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's as he's saying, as I put on charity, I became a man. If you read that whole chapter, he's talking about, hey, I don't profit anything if I don't have charity. I don't gain anything if I'm nothing. But he says, when I was a child, he's saying, when I put on that charity, I became the man that God wanted me to be. I became the lady God wanted you to be. And we miss it. We got our Bible reading down every day. We got our scripture verses. We got the songs. We're faithful to church. We got our doctrine down. But we don't have that pure charity, and we're not a man or a woman for God. Amen. And Paul, being our apostle, he says, follow after me. Follow after me. And you wonder why you're frustrated in your ministry. You wonder why people don't want to follow you. You wonder why you can't touch somebody. Now let me say this. You leading somebody to the Lord, you say, well, I lead people to the Lord. I got God all over me. Get rid of that thought. God uses his own word, and it's not your fruit, it's his fruit. Because he's the one that died on the cross for us. All we are is the ones that carry it, hallelujah. And are privileged enough to tell somebody. And listen, anybody, I've seen the meanest people lead people to the Lord. I've seen lost people that realized they were lost after they've been in church for a while. They led people to the Lord.
Yeah, come on.
So you can't measure your spirituality by how many souls you win. Right. How many sit down and want your counsel. But one thing I know I can become a man for God is if I put on charity. And we've lost it. Amen. We're naturally mean. Little Gracie, was she here? Gracie, stand up for me. I like to embarrass her because she likes the attention anyways. Come on. Gracie, stand up if she's not asleep, because she falls asleep. There she is, little Grace. Now, little Grace ain't saved. And I always say she got a devil in her. And I was preaching revival for Brother Brandon, Nikki's home church there. And she was falling asleep every night while I was preaching. I told her, if you fall asleep again, girl, while your daddy's preaching, I'm going to whoop you. She fell asleep. But she's smart, Michael, because I told her if she fell asleep on mommy's lap. And so I said, you fell asleep. She said, no, I fell asleep beside mommy.
Amen. Amen.
I said, crazy. Why did you fall asleep? She said, well, the music was good.
Amen.
Kind.
Yeah, very kind. But Gracie is just learning how to be kind and to love her brothers and sisters. Amen. Now, Gracie, she'll kiss you. She loves to kiss and everything. But when Gracie wants her way, she'll do it. Listen, our kids are born. My point is our kids are born with not being charitable. Love and action. She'd rather do her thing. She'd rather take something from her sisters, whatever. We're like a bunch of children. Because we think God, because God spoke to us, and thank God he did, that everybody should listen to us.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Amen.
That's good, man.
You know what my problem was when I was here? I wasn't charitable. I learned it towards the end when I was leaving. You said, well, Brother Samuel, you did something. Yeah, I did a lot of things, but it was all about me. I'm being honest with you. About my ministry. About me preaching, about how many kids are coming to my class, about me. And it took something the Lord had to get a hold of my heart about to apologize to a brother in that back room there. And I'll tell you, Brother Renee, I was bitter at. But God began to teach me to put on charity. And to follow after charity. And Brother Jesse, you know what he did? As soon as I started putting on charity, following after charity, there's 8 things in this chapter he began to take out of my heart. And I want you to see them. Look at verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind And then it says, charity envieth not. You know what I had a problem with as a young youth pastor? I envied other preachers. I wasn't satisfied with the job that God gave me. And God began to pull it out, Brother Jesse. Do you realize that Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit because of envy? Do you realize that your Savior went to Calvary because the Bible says those men were envious? You know what envy brings? Murder. I wrote down tons of scripture and I don't have time and we're not going to be able to go through them. But everyone, I've been preaching a series on this to my church folks. Every Sunday night I preach on one of these things. There's 8 things that were in my heart God began to pull out. And he pulled out envy. You know what else he pulled out? He pulled out the next thing. Charity vaunteth not. You say, what's that? Boasting. That one sometimes, it comes back. I catch myself. Don't look at me like a bunch of owls. You do the same thing. I told you I'll make you feel uncomfortable because I'm talking about me and my problems, which relate to your problems. And I begin to boast about what I do and take the glory from God. And God began to reveal this to me, and I begin to look at myself at a different light, if you will, and think, oh, my soul, I'm acting like a child. And I've caused division. I've told people, one of the best things that ever happened to me is God take me out of here because I hurt this place. I've told my wife, I told my daddy, I said, I'm sorry. I hurt Faith Baptist. I was a child. And I want to warn you, don't do the same thing. Amen. Start putting on charity. Follow after charity. Let God start pulling these things out of your heart. Yeah. Amen. Start with your family. Amen. The next thing he says, not puffed up, that pride. Being prideful. Amen. Being puffed up, thinking you're something when you're not. You got to fight it daily. Amen. The only time we'll ever get victory over this is when we get to heaven. Amen. Look what it says. Look at what it says. It says, the next thing it says, doth not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly, not becoming, uncomely. Listen, some of you girls need to learn how to be a lady. Amen. 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 Some of you boys need to learn how to be a gentleman. Amen. Some of you adults need to learn to shut your mouth. Amen. And not to say the things in front of these little ones. Amen. That'll hurt their hearts. Amen. And ruin their lives. Amen. All the young boys I look at that we used to be in our youth group, I was unseemly with and acted a fool with, and they ain't serving God. It haunts me because it was about me. They weren't cool. They couldn't fit in. We've lost charity. Seeketh not her own. It's not seeking their own all the time. What they need. I've had at least 4 or 5 scriptures for every one of these. I just ain't going to be able to do it tonight. I was just going to read them to you, but I just ain't got time. Seeketh not our own. Bible says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. It says, not easily provoked. Amen. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
That's right, amen.
Well, we get our feathers ruffled so easily. We're a bunch of children. Listen, the youth rally was awesome. It was great. But if we leave here tonight and not learn what the deepest things in our hearts are problems, we'll still stay divided. My worry for every church, and I preach this to my church, is if that pastor dies, what would happen in here? We've seen over and over, Frederica.
Yeah.
I've seen church after church. Every time I leave my church, I pray, God, would you use the men of my church and let them know that the power of God can show up without their pastor? Because it's not on just on me.
Right.
It's on every one of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we come and we're not divided, boy, he'll show up.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll show up. And boy, every time I say, God, help somebody get saved. Help the Lord to move in the service that their hearts are touched and they realize, listen, we just don't need the pastor all the time. I understand what the Bible says, but when the pastor's gone, we can hold the fort and we can have a service and God can move.
Amen.
Seeketh not our own, not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil.
Amen.
How many times we thought evil of each other?
Yep.
God help us.
Amen.
You know what amazes me? Boy, amen to all this, but we've never got it right.
Right.
When's the last time you got down and said, Lord, will you forgive me thinking that about my sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so? You realize their sins. We're not Bible believers, really.
Amen.
Then it says, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Unjustness, unrighteousness. You know, we rejoice in our own unrighteousness.
Yeah.
You ever caught yourself doing that? I have. I'll be honest with you. Like, no, that ain't right. The thoughts of somebody else. Being puffed up. Boasting. Envying. Eight things here God begins, I believe, to pull out of you and show you who you really are. And if you let God tonight, as you start to put on charity and say, God, start praying for it. Help me to follow after it. Help me to put it on.
Amen.
Help me to start in your home, in the church house, and to the lost. I'm telling you, Faith Baptist, this church will grow, and you'll be in that gym. I guarantee it. It will grow and be in that gym. Because God... Well, look down. Paul, like Paul said, I profit nothing. I am nothing. Last thing. I'm amazed how Paul wrote this. Because in verse 4, he starts out, charity suffers long and is kind. There's two. There's seven of them that God puts back in you. But he starts out with the two. And I've been praying, God, show me what that two and that five at the end are. And I believe God showed it to me this morning in the service. He began to speak to my heart in the service and showed me this. I could be wrong. Don't matter. But he shows you the two. I believe this, number about these two. If you start saying, I'm going to suffer long and I'm going to be kind, God begins to take those things out of your heart. begins to reveal in your life where they're at. Because listen, some of these things, these eight things that are negative in our life, we might not be towards this person, but we are towards that person. And we want to measure ourselves on the good stuff that we do instead of the bad stuff that we do. And I believe if you begin to say, Father, I want to put on charity. God, will you help me to suffer long just like you do with us and while you do with me? And help me to be kind to people no matter how much they irritate me. Help me to be kind to my children. Help me to be kind to my husband. Help me to be kind to my wife. Help me to be kind to my pastor. Help me to be kind to everybody I meet, even though help them to see the love of Christ in my life. Be kind. I believe God's going to take him. And then he says, rejoices in truth. You do that, you'll rejoice in truth. Beareth all things. You'll be able to bear things you, like Brother Cody talked about. God, you're carrying a heavy load, and God will come in. You'll be able to bear things you thought you would never be able to bear. He says this, believeth all things. Now, that's not believing all the fables of the world, all these silly things of the world. It's believing all the things of God's word.
Yeah.
Hopeth all things and then endureth all things. I got looking at this and thought, why did he separate 2, 5? There's 7. So just out of curiosity, I said, let's go to Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 5. Just thinking about it, I've been praying on it. You might think I'm crazy, but I want to show you. He says this, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Wow. Paul just gave us the wisdom of God, and he said that it would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, talking about maturity, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of this world that came to naught. What he's saying is that we need to be in the wisdom of God. That's his word. But we have let the world come in, and it's not working. It keeps us divided. But his wisdom and his word puts us together.
Yeah.
Look what it says. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, to glorify you. My soul. Look at verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
And then I got thinking, there's 7 of those good things. I thought 2, 2 and 5, 2 and 5, 2 and 5. Old Testament, New Testament, 2nd one. What's the 5th book? Acts. What's the 7th chapter? In Acts chapter 7, Stephen dies. And who was standing there holding the garments? Paul. Go to Acts chapter 7. Paul saw one of the most examples of charity. Acts chapter 7, at the end of the chapter there. Brother Jesse, you can come to the piano, please. Paul's standing here holding the garments. Jesus stands on the right hand of God. And they begin to stone Stephen as he preached. Verse 59. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he had fell asleep. You know what Paul got to see? He got to see a Christian that cared about his people as they murdered him, just like Jesus Christ did for all of us, and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Amen.
We talk about putting on charity, but I'm telling you, we don't even touch it. What Jesus Christ did for us, as the theme is about Jesus, it is the greatest act of charity we've ever seen. And here's Paul. He was after Christians. He was holding the garments. And I believe when Jesus knocked him off his horse in chapter 9, he could still hear Stephen say, "Father, don't lay this to their charge. Father, please, will you save them? Father, please, will you help my brethren?" And Paul, when he got saved and God revealed it to him, thought he was indebted to Stephen. He said, "I'll give up the worldly things to go preach about Jesus because of his love and his action for me." Hallelujah. And brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but when people come into my church, I want them to feel God. I want them to know the love of Christ. I want them to see true Christians that have charity. My church, I got a bunch of people who don't know who Dr. Ruckman is. They don't know who Hiles is. All they know is that there was a man that came down to that town, or came up to that town, and began to preach about Jesus and begin to preach truth. And when they stepped in there, I don't know how many times, Brother Mike, that people said, "Man, I stepped in here, I felt something different." Recently, on Easter Sunday, had a Mexican lady walk in, and I watched her. She walked in late, and she stopped. She looked around, and her son bumped into her, and then they came in. One man sat her down here. She's a preacher's daughter that was backslidden. Her name's Morphy. And she told my wife, with tears running down her face, she said, "When I walked in those doors, I felt the Spirit of God." And she said, "God told me this is where I need to come." Listen, during our revival, she rededicated her life. She's been in sin for years, backslidden. She was there today. She was there on Wednesday night. She's there in Sunday school. She's bringing her boys and her. And listen, the guy she's with, guess what he is? He's Orthodox. She was going to an Orthodox church. You know what's crazy, Brother Ken? She had come, and she said, "I'm going to try to come back that Sunday night." He didn't want to, so they didn't. She promised us we'd be back at the revival. His name is Sam Michael, and I said, "Hey, Sam." I said, I talked to him. He's a big businessman in Montreal. He flies to Germany, and he buys in Montreal. He told me, he says, "I run Montreal." Very proud. I said, "Well, that's good." I said, "Listen, if you come back," I knew he wasn't saved. I said, "Listen, if you come back for the revival, I want you to meet Brother Cochran, a missionary in Montreal. So when you go to Montreal and spend a week, maybe you go to his church." And he kind of blew me off. So they came Thursday night. They came Thursday. It was packed out. They sat there. He sat here like this. He never seen nothing like it. She was enjoying it, video, weeping, waving. She brought her friends.
Amen.
He's sitting there. And little did I know, two brothers from Montreal that came down that years ago, Brother Jesse and me and Chris would preach, and they caused some trouble at Brother Jason's camp. Check this out. It got back to somebody's home church in Connecticut, which called my dad and told him that me and Chris were preaching heresy. I haven't seen these guys, George and Mark, for years. But on my Twitter feed, they had saw that we're having a revival. So they came down. George had left that church and become a pastor. Little did I know that they were, I didn't know they were coming. Gabe Cochran wasn't supposed to be there till Friday night, but he ends up showing up He told me, hey, listen, God wants me to come. He came. So that man, Sam, right after service, had left. Those three guys are there. He runs out the door, and I get through everybody, and I want to see him saved. Amen. Sinners come into the house of God, I want to see him saved. Amen. So I chase Sam out the door, and I knew if I get him to Brother Cochran, Brother Cochran knows how to deal with him. He's from Montreal. Yeah. That's the missionary that's there. I said, hey, did you meet the... He said, I heard the preacher stand up. I said, no, I want you to meet Brother Cochran. So Brother Cochran comes out, go get him, talk to him. This guy's not interested. So Brother Cochran begins to talk to him. She runs to my wife, and she begins to cry, and she says, hey, Sam's not saved. And she didn't know what was going on, and neither did I know what was going on. But Brother Cochran got to talk to him. He was Lebanese. The guy, George, that caused Jesse and us a bunch of trouble, he was Lebanese. So Cochran went and got him. They begin to speak in Lebanese. The guy opened up.
Wow.
I took the guys, when Cochran come back in, I said, what happened? He said, oh, he's Lebanese. I put George on him. Get in my office. We got in my office. We said, oh, God, please save Sam. A bunch of us guys got in there, got praying. Sam didn't get saved that night. What had happened was, they had texted me late that night, and they said, hey, Sam invited us back down to have dinner and then go to revival with us.
Amen.
You don't know how big that is. Because I know Brother George, he was on him. He knows his Bible. And began to witness to him. And he began to show him all kinds of stuff and everything. And they talked to her. But their wives were talking to her. And guess what happened? She said, God is doing this, and this is where I need to be. No matter if he wants to or not.
Amen.
He come to church that Friday night. He left in the middle of it. He couldn't handle it. See, Sam's still not saved. But this past Sunday, she was there.
Amen.
And after Sam got done at his Orthodox church, he walked in with a tie, and he walked right down and sits with her, and he sits with her, and he hears me preach. You say, what's going to happen? The love of God is going to save that man.
Amen.
You say, what did the Lord do? You know what the Lord did? If me and Jesse would have ridden around the country, and if I would have broke fellowship with those fellows, and I would have had a hard heart and a bad spirit towards them and didn't show them the love of Christ, because I realized this. That was 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago. We were young, and we were stupid. And we make mistakes. And God, I thank them so much. Now one of them wants to become preacher youth meeting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I thanked them for coming. I said, thank you for listening to the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of God. You say, what? Listen, as soon as somebody does something wrong to us, we automatically just cut them off. Where's our charity tonight? Brother Jesse goes ahead and plays. Altar's open. You do business.